Kara with Anime Secrets for our Anime Declassified podcast, and today we're going to be talking about AKON 2016 at the Hilton Anatole in Dallas, Texas. And you can find me on at SpaceKanoichi at twitter.com, and I am joined by...
Hey guys, Rizwan here. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram on CMD Drake. Steam, you can find me at Phoenix Lament, and I'm joined today by...
Hi, my name is Luke, Ashway Sides. I'm a guest here for the podcast. I don't really have much of a presence on the web, but you can find me on Steam at Arc Delta. But I've been a longtime fan of anime, and I'd love to offer what I can.
Yay! Welcome to the podcast, Luke.
Yay, Luke!
How's it going?
So, as Kara said, today we're talking about Project AKON 27. This is a really fun convention. I can't lie. Like, every year I go to AKON, I'm never truly disappointed by anything they do. Which is really surprising, because most conventions I go to, I get disappointed at something. But...
Yes, exactly. And this is me and Riz. Well, Riz has been to AKON a long time ago in the Dark Ages.
Yeah.
But this is me and Riz's third AKON together in a row. And I have to say, it's getting... They're improving things year after year after year. It's becoming my favorite convention that I have to go to every year just to be with my friends, just to have the experience, because there's no other con like it in the South, I think, outside of... Well, I don't know if you would call Anime Expo in California part of the South, but there's no other anime convention like it. So it's a great convention and very big convention, but it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. So, yeah, same for me. Like, I want to... AKON once back, and I think AKON 13 or 14. It was actually me and Luke who went there when we were still in high school together. Just randomly walking around the con, I'm like, oh wait, that's Luke. That's the guy from my high school. Hey, how's it going? So yeah, we've been on and off for years. Like, I haven't been to the con since then. I started going 3 years ago again with Kara. And yay.
AKON was actually my first con, so I've always had a particular affinity for it, you know, and that special way of it's nostalgic in a way. So it's always interesting to see what they're doing with it as it goes forward every year.
Yeah. One thing I'm really intrigued by with AKON moving forward to next year, and by the way, this is a bit of an announcement. Next year, AKON will be a four-day event, which will be the first time in its history of being a four-day event officially on paper. Normally...
Wow.
Normally, AKON is a Friday, Saturday, Sunday con, and Thursday is day zero, where you have a couple of small things to get people kind of vetted and ready to go. Well, not anymore, guys. Day zero is now Wednesday.
Which kind of makes AKON one of the longest conventions in the United States. Well, I mean, it's already one of the longest, but considering day zero was Thursday and people kind of come Thursday morning, but now... Now I have to get 3 days off instead of 2 days off to go, because Wednesday is day zero now, and I don't think I've heard of a convention go from Wednesday to Sunday.
We have had a couple of cons do it in the past. I believe Anime Expo does it, actually. Thursday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I can't say for certain. I haven't really looked into their dates lately. I know they're going on, like, right as we're podcasting and all, but I don't know if they start a Thursday or Friday.
Yeah, Anime Expo would be a great convention to go to. But anyways, we're talking about AKON. So,
yeah. So unfortunately, this year, we didn't get to the convention on Thursday to really do much of anything. Well, Luke and I had to drive in from Louisiana, which, for the record, it's a six-hour drive. So
awesome six-hour drive, but a six-hour drive nonetheless.
I had to come in from Austin, and that was my travel day, and I only have one car with my husband, so I basically took the train to get to Dallas so he could have the car at home. So it was a very long train trip. So Thursday was kind of a travel day. I mean, I heard the masquerade was great. I didn't go to the masquerade. I don't think we've ever gone to the masquerade, but I heard it was good.
A lot of
the people... Oh, really?
Yeah. That was the year... That was my first year going to AKON after many years, and I went to the masquerade with a couple of my friends. You hadn't arrived yet. You were getting there Friday that year.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So I went and hung out a little bit in the Masquerade. It's a really cool event. It's a lot like every other Masquerade at every other con. But it's still a pretty fun time, and I recommend going if you guys are into ballroom dancing and wearing fancy outfits at a convention instead of, like, whatever cosplay you have to wear because it's cosplay time.
Yeah. So yeah, Thursday was kind of a travel day, but we were able to meet up Thursday night and kind of chill out and kind of take in the con a little bit or get excited for the con, which is what I really like about A-Con, is you can kind of get hyped for it the night before
con,
with everybody
hype,
coming
con,
in.
Hype, con, hype, con, hype.
Yeah, and then you can just start in right away Friday morning and just dive right into it. So Thursday was kind of boring, but we got to the hotel safe and sound, and the con was already in full swing with the Masquerade, so yay.
Yeah. So as the last 2 years, we've stayed at the Hilton Anatole this year, and I'm a little disappointed in the Anatole this year, actually. Like, it wasn't up to par with what I experienced last year being a guest in the hotel. They had a lot of issues. And I don't know if that's because A-Con got too big for them, or is that because we just had the bad luck of the draw with everything this year, but...
The Anatole, as always, has a beautiful interior, but the staff this year, when we came in, there was this feeling that there was something going on underneath the surface, like a real sort of last-minute scramble, and some, like, serious internal divisions. It almost seemed like there were arguments between departments, like... The people in, for example, one of the nights when we tried to get our valet picked up from one of the two entrances to the hotel, they sent us back to the first entrance because they said that they weren't talking to them on the phone and that they refused to answer their calls, which just struck me as weird, like the two departments were fighting or something like that. There was kind of this theme throughout that there was, like, some sort of department warfare going on underneath the scenes.
Yeah, that was definitely interesting. The best was the hotel rooms in general, though. Oh, my God. We had no working outlets for the longest time. We had to, like, call the hotel when we got in our room, like, hey, your outlets are kind of wobbly. We can't plug in my phone to charge it. I can't plug in my laptop. And given we're press at A-Con, it's kind of important to have our computers ready to go so that we can upload photos from the cameras, we can put videos up. We can do some live video uploads directly from the convention, so you guys have the stuff as we get it. And there's no delay on our part. But that was impossible this year because the outlets just they didn't work. We had to get one power strip, and that was a little limiting on what we could do this year in terms of, like, getting out during the con.
Yeah, that was kind of disappointing. And my TV was broken, so we had to have... I had to have time taken out of my morning for maintenance to come and replace my TV 3 times because they could not get a working TV in my room. And that was interesting. So, because we kind of wanted the TV for hanging out and playing games and stuff on our downtime and stuff like that. So that was kind of important. Not the most important thing, like the outlets, but still... You should expect that sort of thing in a luxury hotel to be working right away. I don't know if it was because we were in the tower this year and not in the atrium, like the years before, where the atrium rooms do seem a lot nicer. But, I mean, it's a luxury hotel. We're spending a lot of money to stay there. Things should be working as soon as we walk in the door.
Yeah, I mean, there should be... Normally hotels do have, like, a check where... Before the guests check in, they go make sure everything's still working, there's nothing broken. I feel like this year, that wasn't as much of a priority as in years past. And, I mean, it wasn't a big deal. Like, after the first night, I had no complaints at the hotel again, minus the valet thing Saturday. Or was it Friday? One of the two.
Well, we had a valet problem on Sunday, too.
We had two specific problems, as I recall. There was the valet pickup on Saturday, but then there was also on Friday, whenever we came in, the bellman and the valet apparently got into an argument, and the bellman, instead of taking up our bags, he just opened the door and sent me into the luggage area and said, take your bags, didn't point them out or anything. I guess I could have taken anyone's bags. But and then turned back to the valet and said, this is the last thing I'm going to do for you, and stormed off the premises, it looked like. So there was that too.
Fight.
Yeah.
Hotel drama.
Right? Like, so yeah, between the two of those instances, it's it sounds like there's a shadow war between the departments for ultimate supremacy of the hotel, or maybe everyone was just stressed and unprepared. I prefer to think of the shadow war because that's more interesting. But
anime coming out in 2017, directed by Luke.
Yeah, hotel I like to think wars. That the bellhop was actually a plant by like the other valet department to make the first valet department look bad as part of the huge conspiracy. But you know, remember.
Oh my God, this needs to be an anime now. Luke, direct Hotel yes. Wars.
Yes, that's right. What I've been saying.
I'll get right on that.
It'll be a spinoff to Food Wars.
There you go.
Great anime, though. Love that anime.
So yeah, that was the hotel experience. After, besides those things, like, the hotel is fine. Like, you know, showers worked and the beds are comfortable enough. Sofa bed was kind of interesting to figure out, but we got that ironed out after a little bit of work.
Luke versus the sofa bed was a highlight.
It was. But,
the next it was more comfortable while it was a couch. I'm not going to lie.
So, the official story I get for a registration for press, and we can have registration for everyone else after Luke. Apparently, from what I'm told by other people that were on press this year, my friends at Cospod podcast, they were telling me that.
Shout out.
Yeah, I mean, definitely check them out. They're a great podcast as well. I love them. They do a great job. But anyway, yeah, they're telling me that when they got there, there were no press passes to be found. The box of press passes were just missing. And they had to check back a couple of times over Thursday to find them. And normally that kind of thing's resolved by end of business down the first day of the con. That's happened before in the past to me. But this year they couldn't find them, so instead of giving out the fancy press badges, they gave us the industry badge, which, I mean, it's the industry badge. I'm not going to complain about it, but at the same time, it does feel like you're a little bit more limited as a press agent, not having the proper pass to tell people who you are. And, I mean, we had Sarpy in that we're press onto the badge, and
I got actually asked a couple times, are you press or who are you? So it was kind of confusing to other congoers.
So I wasn't too keen on that, but I can understand things happen. You lose things. It's a big event. Top 3 event in the country for anime conventions. But still, it is a little disheartening to not have the proper things needed to do your job as a press unit when you don't have the proper credentials or the passes. But hopefully next year we'll have... You know,
well, the new team should be up to speed by then. I mean, the last couple years before this one, they had a different team that was pretty well oiled already when we got there. People got swapped out. So,
if I'm not mistaken, that's the theme across the convention as a whole. Many of the teams for different divisions, like press, registration, panel running, security, these are all new people taking over. The departments, or there's a lot of new staff in those departments that weren't here in years past, which led to a lot of confusion, a lot of first-time things happening. My guess is that transitions were not properly done between the old and the new, and hopefully this is a learning year, and that next year it'll be a lot smoother run. I mean, this year was smooth as is, but there's some oiling to be done to make it a well-oiled machine still.
Completely agree.
Yeah.
Certainly.
So, Luke, you want to talk about your registration process? Because I'm actually intrigued to hear about it.
Okay. So, I was just going to get into that. So, for general registration, the lines were different this year than I remember them being in the past, in the sense that rather than one solid line, they lined people up near the tower rooms, and they had, like, separate sublines with breaks in them. So, like, the line stretched almost throughout, like, the whole hotel, not quite back to the dealer's room or anything. It only went back as far as the towers. But it certainly crossed, you know, the entire atrium area into a second building, but it was broken up into like, and each line had staff, Akon staff, who would wave people over and then tell people to stop, almost like the old kind of traffic cops do whenever the lights aren't working, when they like wave people by. And then among that, some of those staff people would ask people if they were selective service, if they, you know, if were in the National Guard or the Army or something like that. And they would wave them and their families to the front, and small children as well, people with small children as well, would get waved to the front. And they would follow people with, you know, that would like have like groups that they would ferry to the front. And then once you get towards the front of the whole thing, the like last third of the line, you could just circumvent if you had a QR code. Like, so you had to wait in the line up until you got like to where the end was in sight, and then they had people grab you and bring you to the very front if you had a QR code. So it was kind of a combination of a bunch of different styles of line management. But while it was odd and nobody knew where to go, if you just followed the directions that the people gave you, it was fine. So I was, it seemed like it would be chaotic, but they made it work.
How long did you take to get your pass? If you remember,
I don't have a great recollection of that. I want to say it was under an hour.
Okay. And how was it like years past? Because I've never had like a registration pass before, had to deal with that.
So the only one I can remember completely clearly is the year before, where general registration was actually in the dealer's room, and you just had to stand in one giant line that stretched from the tower to the dealer's room, and it was just like a typical line. You just, you know, wait in line. And then at a certain point, the line split into a shorter line of those that pre-registered and those that, like, hadn't. In this, it seemed like it was a little bit more well-managed, if more staff-intensive. It looked like it required a lot more staff people to manage the line, but it was smoother.
Okay, that's a good thing.
From my experience, yeah.
Yeah, the only complaint I heard about the registration line was the quality of the pass that was handed out to the normal registration people, or like pre-reds people. They were given like a plastic papery, not a plastic, like a papery pass.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like last year we got like laminated passes, you know, but this year it's just a piece of paper, like a folded piece of paper, which is a shame because I actually like the artwork for the passes this year the most of all the years that I've been, and wanted to save it, but it's really hard to save because it's like a piece of cheap paper, so.
Mm-hmm. And I'm told like on Akon forums that you couldn't even like laminate the thing. Yeah. Because that would cause like it to blacken and then it become void and then you can't use it to get into con and there's no replacement, so you had to basically take care of the paper pass. Which really sucked because
they also wouldn't hand out any of the artwork at the end. Like I was like, this pass will never save. I'd like, you know, like a PDF or something of like the artwork so I can, you know, print it out in something nicer and like put it up on my wall or whatever. But no. They said that it was not done by them. It was proprietary, so whatever.
Yeah, well, it was copyright, too, or something. They couldn't pass it out.
They said it was a copyright thing.
It was copyright, but not copyright to Akon, apparently. That's the impression that I got, because they said they didn't have the authorization to give it out.
Mm-hmm. Well, the industry badges were really durable, and they were plastic, so we had nothing to worry about on that end. I'm going to keep mine forever. It's going to last forever, but I really feel bad for all the people who like to cherish
it. Open in
memories.
My face, will you? I see how
they
is.
Have the paper badge that's kind of able to get wrinkled easier and just fade.
All
easier.
Those people, huh?
You lowly peons.
Wow, Gareth, tell us how you really feel about the other people in the con.
I'm kidding.
No.
But so, yeah, it's aside from the registration stuff, I do want to touch on one thing real quick. I don't want to dwell on it too long, but I wasn't too thrilled with the press policies for interviewing guests this year. For many reasons. One, normally in years past, and at many other conventions, what you do is you tell the people in Stars of the Con who you want to interview, and they'll tell you yay or nay on if there's a time slot that you can go interview them at. They'll give you a room or they'll give you permission to interview them so that there's some kind of back and forth. Akon had the same kind of thing, except they wanted all the questions pre-screened by the convince them before they could even allow you to interview anyone. And if you interviewed someone without permission at ACON, that was grounds for badge removal and exemption from the con in general. Which was not an easy thing, because that led to us not interviewing anyone this year. We didn't have time to, on the spot, make up questions to make an interview about for 10, 20 minutes, whatever. Normally, we just kind of have a general idea of what questions we're going to ask and go with that and kind of,
you know, go off the cuff. Go with the flow of the conversation.
Right. But this year, it was more of a, no, you have to basically get it approved, have a staff member present. I don't mind a staff member being present. That's totally cool with me. But it would have been nice if we were told ahead of time to have questions ready for each guest you want to do, and we can pre-screen them. Or even ahead of the con, like, if you they told us, hey, we want the questions now, we could have written up questions, given it to the con. They could have approved it. Then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we had the entire time to just basically interview. Because
yeah,
the process gets really convoluted. First, you got to get good questions approved. Then they got to make sure the person you're trying to interview is free at all during the times that you're free. And then if you are free, you can interview them. But it just seemed like a major waste of time if you do all the work to make the questions on the spot, and then you're not allowed to interview the person due to scheduling.
I mean,
it just seems like a lot of back and forth that could be avoided by not doing that. And on top of that, I feel like there is something in the paperwork we were told to sign if we wanted to interview, that all rights to the interview were property of Phoenix Entertainment, which is the parent company of ACON. Which I wasn't too keen on. I didn't really care for that too much, but I'm told that not many interviews happened this past weekend due to that, and there could be a possibility. I'm not saying there's anything like for sure, but I'm hoping the possibility exists that they'll realize that not many interviews happen for these reasons, and next year we'll have a better, maybe something more similar to last year's policy. So that's just my little soapbox rant on that.
Yeah, there was nothing wrong with last year's policy at all. It was, if we would just need confirmation if they said yay or nay to being interviewed, and then that was that. I mean, and then if ACON wanted to use our stuff, then that's great. Then they could just ask us, but it still belongs to us. But
yeah,
as far as them owning the stuff that we went out of our way to do that they had no part in, that's really kind of underhanded. So
yeah, so that's the reason we don't have any interviews this year, unfortunately. We do have a podcast we're putting up later on after this one that Luke recorded, but we'll talk more about it later on, just to kind of build up the hype right now that there is something coming still. Anyway,
yay.
Roger that.
So Friday, after all the press and registration stuff was dealt with, it was about 2 o'clock in the afternoon there about. We had a slight late morning getting ready and all that, getting hotels to figure out TVs and passes and all that. The food trucks this year, I don't know, I'm gonna let y'all talk about food trucks, because the food trucks were yeah.
Alright, yeah, I more or less felt that there was, you know, there's no accounting for taste, so everybody's got their own preferences, but in my opinion there was basically one good food truck and a couple of in-hotel options that were good but expensive, and other than that, you'd have to go travel to eat, because there wasn't a lot within walking distance. So, really, it's good if you come over to ACON, if it's anything like this year, to have some transportation that you can, you know, get a hold of on short notice, because as far as food options at the hotel, it's either a little bit pricey or a fair number of food trucks that weren't that great.
I mean, the Vietnamese food truck was amazing. Like,
yeah,
top quality ingredients, really healthy, really good, really flavorful. But
yeah,
as far as the rest of them, they just gave really small portions, it looked like, and for very high prices. And it didn't look like that good quality of food. And then if you want to eat well while being at the convention, it's going to be expensive for you, because there's, like Luke said, there's nothing really a walking distance.
Yeah.
So if you want to eat well and, you know, have less expensive options, it's kind of, you're kind of stuck. So kudos to the Vietnamese one. Yeah, that was really affordable, and it was really delicious. So yeah, that we probably ate primarily out of that.
Of course, they did run out of things as time went on, as I recall. They did have to keep scratching some things off their menu, did they not?
I don't remember if they did or didn't, but they might have.
Towards the end of the con, if I recall correctly.
The sausage food truck did. I'm not sure about the Vietnamese one.
I know the
sausage.
I
didn't have any trouble ordering anything, but...
I think on the last day they were missing a few.
Mm.
I could be mistaken.
One thing I didn't... Just to give you an idea of like how outrageously overpriced hotel food was not in the food trucks... Saturday morning, I wanted to go get a quick breakfast while everyone else is getting ready, because I have really weird sleep schedules at cons where I can sleep for 2 hours and be good to go again, whereas my roommates were more into the sleeping thing in the morning. So I got up, went around the hotel looking for food, found there's a cafe near the tower that has like coffee and yogurts and fruit cups and all that, so I found a parfait there. And I got a parfait and a bottle of water. I spent $10 on these two items. And I could not believe how much I spent for that, but I needed food. I wanted something healthy. And that was what I had. So, yeah, that was not a good idea. That was just terribly priced.
I thought, I bought a Dr. Pepper from that store on Thursday, and it was $3.50 for a regularly sized Dr. Pepper bottle. That you can buy for a dollar at a convenience store, or you know, at Walmart or wherever you're going to be buying soda from. It's ridiculous. You can pay $3 for an entire case of cans of soda at the grocery store. So I thought that was kind of overpriced, and I kind of noticed some of the prices on the sandwiches and stuff were like $8 per like little tiny like chicken salad sandwich. Like it's ridiculous. It's ridiculously overpriced. So then the restaurants in the hotel are good too, but they're also really expensive. And most people going to a convention are younger people, so they're not going to always have transportation or money to eat really, really good food, you know, the whole convention. I mean, I'm a working adult. I work 40 hours a week, and I'm pretty sure just me trying to eat well, like good hot meals and stuff, It probably cost me $100 for the whole weekend, if not a little bit more than that. So,
yeah,
but we did
$100.
Yeah, so that's just how expensive the area around the hotel is for food if you want to eat good food. So, just keep that in mind, I guess.
Though, if you have the money and the transportation and the time, there's this really great barbecue place in the area called Smoke. You should go check it out. They have amazing Texas barbecue, in my opinion. Yeah. So
you would not think that coffee would be a good barbecue ingredient, but boy, do they make it work!
you guys have yet to come to Franklin here in Austin.
Anyway,
which you guys still need to do. But anyways,
absolutely. So that's all the registration, hotel stuff, and food logistics. Now on to the fun stuff: the convention.
Certainly.
So, Friday, we attended a Kyle Hebert panel. I forget the name of it. It was like Talk Nerdy with Kyle Hebert or something.
Pretty much we shot the crap with Kyle Hebert with an hour, and it was amazing.
So, I knew Kyle Hebert was a huge nerd like the rest of us. I didn't know how much of a nerd he was until then. Like, he probably has more nerd credit than I do at points than what he's like. He's seen more of the movies that come out in theaters. He just is a huge nerd. It was really fun to spend an hour with him just talking about different things, like the Civil War movie from Captain America, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. We talked about...
Don't forget his wife. His wife was amazing, too.
Fiance, actually. Ryder. They're not married yet. But yeah, Ryder's really cool. And
yeah, they have a really good connection and chemistry.
It's so adorable, actually.
I know.
So, yeah, that was really fun. I enjoyed the commentary on Deadpool and, like, different things coming out, the Star Wars movies and other topic we had. That was a really fun time, actually. I really enjoyed it a lot. So I really recommend, like, any Kyle Abrey panels in the future, you also go really check it out, because that was a fun time to
have. He's one of the best, like, panelists and, like, people to, like, talk to and just do stuff with, or, you know, like, we interviewed him at AKON 25, and he was a blast to interview, a lot of fun. He really pulls out the voices out of thin air. It's great. And he's also a really good host for the cosplay contest at AKON every year. That's always something I look forward to.
Indeed. After that, I went to another panel, what's going to be like a voice actor panel with Todd Haberkorn. Unfortunately, Todd got delayed in his plane somewhere. He couldn't make it until later Friday night or Saturday morning. I was a little unclear, honestly, when he was arriving, but he did arrive at some point. I know that because I saw photos of him later. But in his stead, every voice actor at that convention somehow got the memo to come down and have fun with us. So instead of having Todd Haberkorn for an hour, we had literally every voice actor just walk in one by one during the first 10 minutes of the panel. And it was great. It was a great panel. I met a lot of cool voice actors I had not really seen before or heard too much about or even knew existed. And it's really fascinating to see, in my opinion, the younger voice actors coming up, the ones that are more like my age or Kara's age, just starting out in the industry, because they have a different take on the voice acting for anime than the older ones may. Not to brag on voice actors, to give you an example, somebody like Steve Bloom or Robert Axelrod, they've been doing this for years, and they're a lot older, they've been around for a lot longer. So for them, this is like more of a fun job, where they can have fun making a product that a lot of people enjoy. But for a lot of these younger voice actors, like Morgan Berry, for them, this is like a dream come true, because they grew up on the Sailor Moon, the Dragon Ball Z, the Pokemon, Naruto. This is like their childhood, and now they're living the childhood dream of voicing characters in the anime world, and to them it's the best thing ever. And it's so cool to see that generation gap and how things are changing over time. I thought that was amazing.
Yeah, unfortunately me and Luke didn't get to go to this panel, but according to Riz, it was a really great panel with a lot of great, I mean, that was just unexpected. When he told me about that, I was like, dang, I wish I had gone.
Yeah, like, it was such a fun time. Like, they had a lot of cool questions. There's a couple of questions that were kind of by the kids, but again, kids, they ask questions that are more and because they don't really, it's hard to say, really, like, just some things like, can you voice certain things? I mean, these are questions that you can do the autograph line, but instead they do it in the panel. I prefer to have the questions like the meaningful stuff, the substance, like where, can you tell us about your experience with this? Can you talk more about that? But it was still a great panel. I really, really, really have only one regret, and that's I couldn't hug the guy at the end. At the end of the panel, the last question was by this father of a child who committed suicide prior in the year, and he told us like how the anime really helped his child out for so many years, but even with everything it wasn't enough, and unfortunately that kid's no longer here. So he wore his kid's badge this year to come to the con and honor him, and I really, really was touched by that. Like, that was a beautiful thing right there. But after the panel, and I couldn't find him to, like, really say anything. He was gone. On the off chance you're listening to this podcast, I don't think you are, but if you are, I just want to say, you have my condolences. We do love you. You're part of the family, even if you weren't really in the community before this, and we do respect and love you a lot. So, you know, please keep coming in the future if you want to, but yeah, I'm not good with this emotional stuff as much, but I did want to make a little shout out to him in the podcast.
That was really brave of him to do that and kind of point out that aspect of the community of a lot of people that are feel alone and such. They turn to anime, and it's really it really helps. I mean, I can't count how many times I've felt alone and not understood by anybody, and anime really helped me out. So, yeah. it's hard to have words for that sort of thing.
Yeah,
it's a powerful message, and it underscores just how many different people there are in the world and how many different struggles there are.
Yeah, definitely. So. And it really is cool, like, to even see the voice actors respond to things like this. They're truly humble. I don't think a lot of them realize when they get into the field the impact they do have on a community, because they impact us in ways they can't possibly understand. I mean, they have they give us characters that we can respect, we look up to, we want to be more like. I mean, what little kid doesn't want to be Goku? What person is not going to be inspired by some great guy like Kamina from Gurren Lagann? I mean, the list can go on. Like, there's so many different characters out there that are great role models. They give humor, they give comfort, they give confidence. They build you up in ways that really shape a lot of these genders in coming out.
They say what you need to hear, and when you need it, and the voice actors don't understand that the impact. I guess that the impact that they have, like you said.
I mean, they get it when they're told what happens, but when they're in that audio booth, they don't know what impact their voice in that booth can have next month, 2 years from now, 10 years from now. Somewhere down the line, you know, something will happen to where somebody's really affected and inspired by them, and it's a beautiful thing.
It's true.
That's powerful.
Yeah. That's why I love the voice actor panels at most conventions, because I get to see so many things like that.
Get a little bit closer to the impact. Yeah.
Moving on a little bit. We did go to the game room that night, I believe. And if it's Saturday night, whatever, we can talk about it now. The game room was really well set up, actually, I thought. I was pretty impressed with it. I hadn't really gone years past to the game room, because normally I'm too busy at other conventions, but I had a lot of free time Friday night, so game room was pretty cool.
Yeah, the room itself was beautiful, and the setup of the equipment in it really kind of actually fit. Almost felt like stepping into, like, I don't know, a professional show hall that, like, Blizzard or something might host at one of its offices.
Oh, definitely.
With the like, big screen with the two people going head-to-head in tournaments being, like, broadcasted to the entire room, and then all the different subsections, some of which had the Mech Warrior pods that you ubiquitously see all the time. And others which had, you know, groups of computers with, I think I saw some League of Legends players, but there was also some strategy games. There was definitely the Pokemon Arena game.
Oh, yeah.
All sorts of things.
Mech Warrior.
Yes.
With Kara, MechCon, you're getting in a Mech Warrior pod, and we're going to play it out.
Yes, first time playing.
I'm not taking none of that. I'm not doing it. I'm too nervous. Next time, you're doing it.
I remember when I was...
Well, nobody wanted to do it with me at ACON. I didn't want to do it alone, so...
Well, they were a little pricey at ACON.
Yeah, they were.
Next place. Yeah, I remember my first experience with those was as a small child. I was brought to a birthday party where the big feature was that they had a bunch of those, but I was the only kid at the party who'd read, like, the Mech Warrior books. So, like, I always picked out mechs that devastated everyone else's because I was the only one who knew what, like, names meant.
That's great.
Yeah, that was a really cool room. I wish I spent a little bit more time there, but we had other things we wanted to do as well. So that's pretty much all we did Friday night, I think, minus our own Cards Against Humanity stuff in our hotel room, which y'all don't need to know about.
A super fight.
Yeah. Saturday was more of a, for us, kind of exploring kind of day, where we weren't, like, really into a lot of panels. It was more of a walk around, sit at a convention, kind of get a feel for the atmosphere. And we spent a lot more time in the dealers than we originally expected to.
Yeah, that was a long time. I got so tired of walking that I had to sit outside for a little bit and just chill out and people watch, because... The dealer's room is a really great source for all the different stuff that you want to buy, and they have it laid out really well. It gets so cramped in there, and I'm not really a cramped in a small space with lots of people type person. So there's only so much I personally can take, but yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. It was definitely like, it's one of the best dealers rooms I ever go to. They have a good variety of things like DVDs and plushies and figurines, and they have a snack store. They have like a huge Funimation store set up. They have a Currency World booth set up. Yaya Han, who the for those that don't know, big cosplayer. She had like her own little booth area set up as well, where she's like signing autographs, selling her own cosplay stuff and everything. And yeah, so that was. It's really well set up. We spent a lot of time there mainly because we wanted to see all the different offerings. And one thing I did appreciate is that Akon had a really good policy with not having anything illicit or bootleg quality. It was all like from the real vendors that are legal, and nothing underhand or illegal that we could buy. So they were really good about that, and I really do appreciate like supporting the industry as much as we can, because without the industry, there's no Akon. Because we have no new material to go on with.
Exactly.
So
I think I saw on the Facebook group that some people had bootleg figures, but you're able to report that sort of thing and blacklist those dealers from ever coming back. So
yeah,
the dealer lost money on that one, selling that sort of thing, in my opinion. So
yeah,
the dealer's room, as I recall, was bigger this year. They used both halves of that whole back building. I don't recall them having done that last year. I think it was a little bit smaller. Or if it wasn't smaller, it was separated.
So what they normally do, they have an artist alley and a dealer's room.
That's right. They combine them.
It wasn't so much combined as you had to go through the artist alley to get to the dealer's room. And that's to support the local artists that come out to try and support and sell their stuff.
Sure, yeah. Whenever I said combined, I didn't mean like mix them up. Like they like lock the two of them together. It was a one big area.
Yeah. And they definitely had a lot of really cool artist alley stuff there too. There's that one lady we talked to for like 30 minutes, and she was really awesome. I forget her webcomic name. But
The Devil's Panties, if I recall correctly.
Yes, Devil's Panties.
Because I recall her slogan of, it's definitely not satanic porn. No, really.
Yeah, she was a really cool lady. We talked to her for a good while.
There are tons of fantastic stories.
Oh, man. I don't think I'm going to mention all the stories on podcast.
Fair enough.
But
maybe we can get her to guest with us on a podcast.
Might have to.
She was great.
But, just saying that one of them involved shutting down a highway, so there's that.
Yeah. No, that's a real thing that she said happened.
For a party.
Yeah. So, dealer's room is definitely really well set up, and I liked it. There's a lot of really cool stuff there. We bought a lot more than we normally would have, and I have no regrets on anything I bought. So, yeah, aside from that, we walked around a lot, saw a lot of really cool cosplayers. Y'all out there in the cosplay community, fantastic. Oh my god.
I'm jealous of what y'all do.
Yeah.
Well, while we're on Saturday, do you want me to launch into the Psychopass adventure?
Do you want to do that or a fencing panel?
Fencing panel happened a little bit later. Let's go chronologically.
Okay.
So, they had a screening of the Psychopass movie at this convention. I personally am a huge Psychopass fan, especially the first season. And by the way, let me just say, the movie's really great. I like the movie a lot. The fact that they wove in the themes of French post-colonialism in with economic trouble in Southeast Asia in a way that kind of parallels modern conflicts in Syria and things was just good. It was good. Anyway, while the movie was good, it was something of an adventure to see it. So they had both the director and the... I believe he was the key animation producer at the video to do interviews and talk about the video, question and answer, and things like that. So they got about as far as 3 minutes into the video before the lights went back on, What followed should be set to either the Benny Hill theme or like a sketch from Excel Saga, where half the lights went on, the other half went on, half the lights go off, and then they reversed, getting a different half on and a different half off. Then they finally get both of them off for us to be treated with shouts that we can hear straight through the walls in the other room. Apparently what had happened is that they coupled the lights in our room with the adjacent room, which was having a panel going on, and they couldn't figure out how to decouple them properly. So, like, every time we got ours working, we would plunge their panel into darkness. And then when they would turn the lights back on, like, you know, the theater would have the lights go back on. And I don't know where and how they ended up getting half the lights on and half the lights off and then a different half on and a different half off. But it actually got so bad that they decided to start doing the question and answer in the middle of the video while they were trying to work the light problems. But even that couldn't go over right because the director would get up and he would, like, start answering one question, and the lights would go off, and everybody would think, oh, yes, now it's going to work. And so he would walk off the stage, and before he could even get back to his seat, the lights would come back on. And there'd be, like, this awkward pause where he doesn't know whether to sit down or keep standing up, and he'd, like, walk back up to the stage and, like, start re-answering a question and then repeat, like, the whole thing would happen all over again.
That poor man.
It was at least 45 minutes to an hour of this. Like, it went way, way in. They eventually did get it working, and the movie was great, but it was, they lost like half their audience at the very least early on to people that just drifted out, and an unfortunately small number of people stayed for the question and answer because they were just so sick of everything by the time it was over that they just got up and left the minute the movie was over. So I think it did definitely detract from the experience and was not a, It wasn't good, given the fact that some of these people flew, you know, out from Japan to be part of this. So, but I did record a number of the questions, both the ones that were asked during the middle of the light flickering mayhem, and when they finished it up at the very end. And there were some good ones, and there were some bad ones. You know, as you get with question and answers, like One guy couldn't get his question through, but it wasn't a good question because, you know, if you actually watched the show, you'd realize there was already answered in the first season. There was that. Yep. At least it went through, and I would have gone out there to see just that movie. I would have made the convention just for that, so there you go.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed the movie. I'm looking forward to finishing Psychopath Season 1 and 2 this weekend. So I can watch the movie, because I'm really curious now.
Yes, actually, it turns out that the director that they had there was one of the directors, as I understand it, for Ghost in the Shell itself. And the key art producer is also the the lead guy on Joker Game, which is an anime that recently came out with this most recent series, which I have not watched the whole of, but I'm starting to get into it. And it's also got a very interesting premise of Japanese spies in the World War II era. So, It was good stuff. They do good work. And that's the Psychopath adventure.
Sweet. You want to talk about the fencing as well?
Yeah, sure. So while these guys abandoned me to go get pizza, I stayed to watch a fencing demonstration. I do fencing myself. It's something I've done for about 2 years now. So I generally know how it goes. And I was kind of curious as to whether it would be like actual fencing or kind of, you know, like air quotes fencing that like you often see where it's like, yeah, they're fencing, and you look at it, it's like, no, it's not actually fencing. I once got asked in the far end whether lightsabers, the use of lightsabers, was fencing, and I'm like, no, none of the techniques that they use in lightsaber fighting are actual fencing techniques. They're lots of fancy flourishes that don't actually work very well compared to more efficient maneuvers. But I was pleasantly surprised. They were a Victorian and fencing reenactment society. They do historical fencing rather than sport fencing, but it a number of their people started out in sport fencing and moved over to historical, which, to be fair, has been my experience as well. Like, I've met a number of people who start out like with college fencing, and then they've moved over to historical fencing. But it was good. They did a whole bevy of different swords and like some basic techniques and demonstration. It's really indicative of that steampunk culture that's kind of like moving its way and merging in with like anime fandom. Like, anytime you like see these anime conventions, you'll like see steampunk, and it seems that the steampunk people are now bringing over the people who like are the actual like history buffs of like Victorian society and stuff like that. And so there's this kind of like whole merging going on there, which is pretty interesting to see. So I enjoyed that.
Sounds like a lot of fun. I'm actually kind of sorry I missed it, but pizza.
Yes.
Yeah. So the cosplay contest was our next big event we did on Saturday. And I have some mixed feelings on the cosplay contest this year. Just a quick thing real quick. I actually really enjoyed the cosplay portion of the cosplay contest and the halftime show. Well, part of halftime show. Let's explain all this. So, okay, the cosplay content is fine. Walk-ons are great. Skits are fantastic. The Annie Idol component in the middle, where the Annie Idol winners from the Annie Idol competition held at Akon, that was great as well. Sorry to the Idol participants at the cosplay contest. We couldn't record y'all. Because if we do record y'all and put y'all on YouTube, YouTube will get mad at us and give us a strike saying we can't put copyright music online, even though we're not really putting the music, we're putting your performance of the music up. But you know what? That's between YouTube and the industry to kind of figure out how to handle that, and I'm not going to comment too much more on it. What I was not really a fan of was the rest of the halftime show after the Annie Idols. The guy on stage that was there, he just came off as extremely crass and rude, and a lot of his stand-up comedy in an attempt to stall for time while the judges came to a decision left me feeling pretty uncomfortable, especially given it's a family-oriented convention, and some of what he said may not be perceived as family-oriented, and definitely I was not a fan of the comments made about, like, because he's a bigger guy, he felt it was okay for him to make fat guy jokes. Was not a fan of that, being kind of a bigger guy myself.
Me either.
I just didn't feel it was necessarily funny or appropriate to the convention setting. Maybe in a different venue that might be fine, but not here. It just rubbed me the wrong way, and I really, really was not a fan of him.
Yeah, me either. I mean, he was fine in the beginning with the whole dance-off and stuff, because he's really good at them. He was really good at getting the crowd going for, like, the cosplay contest and stuff, and getting them engaged. But as far as the halftime show, honestly, after the Annie Idol competition, they should have just, like, cut to another montage that they do with, like, the different, like, with the music and all the pictures of past cons and stuff, or, you know, showed something else to kind of just pass time or have some, you know, or play music or something. Like, we don't need stand-up comedy. I mean, the year before was even worse with the stand-up comedy, with that random comic that had nothing to do with anime culture, gaming culture, or anything like that coming up and making bad, crass jokes about her love life and dating a nerd and that sort of thing. Like, that stuff is just, it's unnecessary. Most of us were not entertained by it. The guy this year was taking selfies with underage girls on stage. Like, it was a big mess. And
to be fair, the girls did were on stage, but that is not a problem. That's not a problem that's their fault. It's the problem of the convention not controlling the crowd. Like, he gave the control of the crowd to the crowd and lost complete control of everything. He had no control left.
And everybody was heckling him.
Yeah. I really hate to make comparisons to other conventions because I try not to do this in podcasts. I try to review a convention based on only their convention. But I feel like this guy could learn a lot of lessons from one of our local in Louisiana convention goers, Queen D, as an MC for events and planning things in advance. Queen D has similar kind of problems, like where it says it may take too long at a cosplay contest, but she can kind of stall for time while not offending anyone and while maybe playing a game or having something set up like some kind of halftime show to engage the audience more on purpose and not as a last resort to buy for time. So I think they have a lot of improvement in that area on the halftime show. I love the Annie Idols. Please don't get me wrong. I love what they do. But this dude should not be in charge of halftime shows. Actually, I'm kind of the opinion that the opening part with the dances and the singing in the beginning with the NSYNC music and all that could be gotten rid of. I don't think there's any point to it, really. Like, it doesn't add anything. They said just open with Kyle Aber coming on stage and doing the cosplay contest. The traditional, as you may say, dance off in the beginning was just kind of, it's eh. We've seen it before. It's been done for years. I like variety in these kind of events, like where it's not the same thing every year exactly. So maybe we could have something a little bit different next year, I'm hoping. I'm hoping that that could be a thing. But at the very least, please, for the love of God, don't have this guy come back for stand-up comedy again, please.
Just no stand-up comedy in general, I think.
I mean, there are so many different... I've been to so many contests, and they do different things for every one of them. Like, anime dating game in the middle. Like, they'll be like, hey, here's random cosplayer that we, you know, talk to ahead of time, like, that we'll do random dating with you. Still come on stage. And they'll play that dating game from the TV stuff. I forget what the TV stuff's called.
Blind Date or something?
There you go, Blind Date. So they'll play that game, like we're still behind a curtain, and contestant one will ask a question, contestant two, whatever. Like, they'll go down the list of like the different congoers and say, here's what you are. What do you think of this person? Do you want to date this guy or this guy? That's fun. It's hilarious. But, and that's more theme appropriate to what we're doing here at Akon, I feel. So, yeah. Everything else is great. The Costa contest video came out really well. It's on YouTube. Y'all can go watch it. You really kind of missed out on some really amazing cosplays. Some of them were friends of ours, like Alaska's Cosplay Corner was there as Taran Day from World of Warcraft. Had a couple other friends out there. They're all really fantastic. Kudos to all them for doing a job well done. Even if you didn't place or anything, y'all were amazing still.
Everyone had great costumes. I was not disappointed with a single costume. It was great.
Yeah.
Those Gundams, though.
Oh my god. The Gundams.
They were awesome.
Yeah, I could not believe what I saw there. Those things, I don't know how they walk. Well, I do know how to walk around. It's uncomfortable and hard, but still. Oh my god.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah.
I just wish that they had the both sides of the runway seating like they did last year for the press, so there'd be more opportunity to get closer, better shots of the people walking down the runway without sitting on the floor. So,
yeah, I was actually talking to the Cospod podcasters at the cosplay contest, because what had happened was the left side. I don't even know if you knew this part, but the left side was reserved for Akon TV to run their cameras back and forth. So press were limited to the right side of the room. So we had to set up our camera in a way to not be in the sight of another group like Cospod or whoever else is around us. So it was a huge game of, among the press units out there, of figuring out, okay, are we all in sync? Nobody's in anyone else's sight? Can we all do our job without infringing on anyone else's film sight? And it took a little bit of negotiating with back and forth, but we got it working out. It was fine, but I do wish we had, like, two-pronged press kit we had in the years past. That would have been a lot better, I felt. So, again, the convention's undergoing some staff changes from what I can understand. I'm hoping lessons learned next year will come back with better accommodations for all that. So, yeah.
I completely agree. There needs to be better. I mean, the press pit last year was great, but I understand that they want to do their own filming too, so.
Yeah. There just needs to be more communication ahead of time on this kind of stuff. And I feel like there's not very much communication from the press office with us on what was going on. And so we could plan ahead for all this stuff instead of having to figure it out as we get there. That would have been a little bit more helpful. But again, you live and learn. It's not a big deal. I'm not like really worried about it. They're great overall, so. That's it for the cosplay contest, I think. So yeah. Sunday we didn't really do too much because that was our day to pack and hit the road because Luke and I had to get back to Louisiana. Kara had to catch a train. Was the whole event on its own, I think.
The catching the train was insane because I was trying to get a ride with Riz and Luke, and the valet would not give up the car for the longest time.
Well, there was a lot of confusion related to all that. Yeah.
But long story,
it all worked out in the end, even if just barely.
Long story short, Riz is an amazing navigator. He makes a great Chewbacca. He got Kara there with like 1 minute to spare, if even a minute. But yeah,
it was awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah. So this is our Acon experience for the most part. There's not much else we can really say like about the con. You guys want to do final thoughts?
Well, it was a great convention. Can't wait to go next year. And my husband and his friend are back from the gaming store, and I live in a giant... I mean, I live in an apartment that has hardwood floors, so you can probably hear them in the background. So, yeah. I'm just going to go ahead and say bye. It was a great experience. Can't wait for next year. Acon is definitely my favorite convention out of all the conventions I've been to in Texas so far. I'm excited for MechaCon next, later this month, birthday convention. So me and Riz will be meeting up again at MechaCon, and we'll be able to bring a podcast to you guys for
God
that.
God help us all. God help us all.
Oh my goodness. So yeah, I'm excited for next year. Hopefully it's run a lot better and they make some changes, but overall it was a great con.
Yeah. All right. Go ahead, Luke.
I certainly had a great experience at this convention. The Hilton Anatole, as always, is a wonderful location, and I hope that their staff gets over whatever issues that they're having for next year. I'll be looking forward to seeing that. The fact that Acon seems like this like all expanding blob as they keep, you know, encompassing more and more time is probably going to be a good thing, because this year I felt like there was a lot of things I wanted to have the opportunity to check out that I just didn't have the time. Also, I'm looking forward to the Hilton Anatole was undergoing some major renovations this year, so they had to shut down a large portion of the outside because they're putting in a water park. With any luck, next year they'll integrate that into the convention somehow, and that would be cool.
So, I'm calling it now. Next year on the Wednesday when we arrive, we're going to water park. We're going to go to the water park and hang out.
Yeah, I know, right? Like, that seems pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Who knows if they'll even have it integrated into some programming. Probably not the first year, but maybe some year down the line they'll figure out something clever to do with that. Like a cosplay contest in the water park or something like that. Like, you know, pictures on, you know, against like the water at night or something like that.
That'd be really cool.
Yeah.
The only concern...
You can do some cool things with candles and like floodlights and water and stuff like that.
Yeah, the only concern with that would be they don't want to have non-hotel guests having access to the water park area.
That's true.
That's strictly for those that are key card to the hotel rooms to use.
Interesting.
And if I'm not mistaken, they also mentioned not having any photography of that area for whatever reason. So
Probably privacy reasons because of the other hotel guests that aren't part of the convention probably don't want their picture taken while they're half naked.
Yeah. I imagine that that's not going to last forever, though. That sounds like a rule they're setting up now, but we've seen how these rules change.
I don't see a problem with the con renting out the water park for like Friday or Saturday only, and then just have an event there, and then that's that, and we can't use it for the rest of the convention. That, like, you know, just setting it aside for one day out of the con for whatever activities they want to do, and then leave it to the hotel for the rest of the time.
Yeah,
and just ban it.
I have to imagine that the convention planning committee is having these very same sort of conversations about, you know, how they can and can't use the water park and what opportunities there will be there. But it's a cool thing to think about for future developments, and it's nice that it's looking like the convention will be going on for longer. I hope to get there earlier next time and check out more stuff. Yeah. Oh, I also didn't know, and this is for everyone else who doesn't know this either, apparently there is some sort of medieval time, like medieval kind of reenactment, sort of Renaissance fair event that goes on around the same time as ACON, very near it. Tell me if I'm mistaken about that.
No, that's correct. Yeah, it's a restaurant called Medieval Times. They run all year round. They have like a medieval type dinner where you basically are served medieval type food, and you can watch legit jousting. Our friend Alaska went this year, and she said it was amazing. And while a little pricey, like $60 a head or something, it's still a lot of fun, they said.
So yeah, anyone who's planning a trip to ACON, be aware that that is also added to the list of sideshows and the overwhelming number of things that go on at a convention this large. So even if it's not part of the convention, it's right there, caught up in it. So.
Mm-hmm. But well, yeah, my thoughts real quick. So I definitely enjoyed ACON for, you know, even with all the small inconveniences we had during the weekend with the press passes, the interview stuff. I thought it was a great con. I had a lot of fun. Only thing I can really say is please get a new guy for the cosplay contest halftime show, no more improv. Get something a bit more relevant to the community. Also, one last thing I kind of forgot to mention this earlier. Try and put the cosplay contest earlier in the day instead of like 8:30 at night, because we already know that the cosplay contest always runs over time, no matter when it is, and having it be 8:30 to 10:30 on the schedule, but in actuality we go until like 11, 11:15, kind of is not a good time, because we're tired by that point. There's a lot of things that we, like, it's just too late at night. And also, from a cosplayer point of view, I had a friend in the contest, like I said earlier, and poor girl had to wear the costume like for many hours beforehand with the pre-judging or whatever and like the setting up. So having it go for that long kind of sucked. I think moving it earlier, like even if you could move it back to 7:30 like last year, that'd be better for everyone involved. I think you'd also retain more of the crowd, because as the contest came to an end with the skits and the halftime show began, a lot of people started leaving, and I know part of that's because of the guy on stage being like really incorrigible, but also the other part is also a super late at night. Those that had hotels not at the Anatole, or those that needed food, because it's right at dinner time to start, so people may skip dinner to go to the contest and go to get food after. It's just bad for them too. Like, we had to go find food trucks after, and there was only like one food truck open. And it was that burger place or whatever, and they were not that great. So choices were kind of limited there. Definitely consider doing it earlier in the day, I think next year. That'd be my last thing about that. Yeah. Also,
And one last thing from me. Con guests, fellow anime nerds, please clean up after yourselves. We only get one hotel for this convention. The Anatole is the biggest hotel that this convention can be at, and in the area. clean up after yourself. We only get this one hotel. If we screw it up, it's over. We don't get Akon anymore. So just please don't tip trash cans over. Don't think you're funny and put pizza on the wall. Just make sure that you keep things clean and thank the staff that cleans your room and just be courteous. It's not a zoo. It's a hotel with priceless objects. One of the nicest hotels in the South. Just be nice. that's all I ask.
And for the love of God, please, it's not funny to pull the fire alarm. I know you may get a few kicks out of it, and it may be fun for you, but legitimately, Luke and I saw this year a lady getting back on the elevator after the fire evacuates and barely able to walk. She was pulled out of bed. I don't know what kind of medical ailments she had, but she could barely move, and her daughter had to basically almost carry her back to the hotel room, and the entire time they were not happy. I've heard about other people affected.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's just not a convenience at all. We had to get out of our hotels and go deal with it as well, go check it out. And just try and be responsible. Try and treat the Anatole like you would your home. Unless you're a pig at home, then please don't treat it like that either. But definitely try and be more respectful, because after the Anatole, the only place they could go is apparently a Gaylord hotel, which is much more expensive. So if you think paying roughly $800, $900 for a hotel is bad, just wait until you got to pay like $1,500, $1,600 for a hotel, like for one hotel room. You're not going to like that. So please, 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 just remember that we have consequences for all our stupidity.
Just keep the drunken antics to a minimum. Thanks, guys.
I mean, I'm not going to point out who it was, but I saw photos of priceless artifacts. I don't know if they're actually priceless or not, but definitely artifacts in the hotel lobby or like in the hotel, like in the lobby at the elevators at each floor. They have like little statues and tikis and all that. I saw photos of those things moved from where they were into hotel bathrooms on a toilet or something. And I'm like, no, that's not proper, guys. I know you think it's funny. I know you think it's cool, but those things may cost a lot of money. I don't know for certain. I'm imagining yes, but I mean, I don't know. So be respectful of everything.
If it's not yours, don't touch it. And yeah. If you have trash, throw it away properly. On our floor, somebody decided to have a trash party by the elevators, and they just threw the trash can on the ground. There's pizza boxes everywhere, beer cans. It was disgusting. I did not enjoy waking up in the morning, coming out of my hotel room, and seeing that as soon as I walked out. Like,
not a fun time.
I paid money. Well, I paid Riz money for my room. And I don't expect a giant mess coming out of my hotel room.
Yeah.
So not cool. just be respectful, please.
Yeah. On that note, I mean, great convincing. Only thing else I'm gonna add on to the end is to Akon, if y'all could please add a list of food trucks to the guidebook along with times they're open and maybe like a selection of what's on each food truck, like a description. That could help a little bit for next year. Also, I feel like there's some things in guidebook that are missing. Maybe not like events, but like information, like what dealer was where. Maybe I missed it in there, but I feel like guidebook was not well set up this year, and I think in future years I'd like to see more properly set up things for that.
It'd be cool in the guidebook to see kind of dealers inventory type stuff. I mean, we talked earlier about how they're trying to crack down on the bootlegging and stuff. If dealers could give inventory lists to the convention and then we could see each dealer what they have, then that would make shopping a lot easier. And
we're not saying like tell us like if you have like a Deadpool figurine. We're saying like if you have figurines and posters, just tell us that in the guidebook so we know where to go. We're not look hunting around the entire dealer's room, which is really massive for this one item.
Exactly.
So, yeah, that's all I got.
Anything you want to add, Luke?
No, I don't think so. I kind of gave my my thoughts in the first pass, but if I had to say something, it's just I've always enjoyed Akon. It's been a great con, and I look forward to seeing it again. So.
Yep, Project Akon. We'll be back next year. Look out for us.
Watch out.
As always, we are the Anime Declassified Podcast run by AnimeStickers.org. You can find the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and Blueberry. We're also on YouTube. We have like, all our podcasts there. Check out AnimeStickers.org for all your nerd needs. We're expanding a lot of things right now. We're currently covering a bunch of different conventions this weekend, so look forward to more content in the coming days, more podcasts, more videos, interviews, everything. Yeah, so keep on listening, and thank you guys for being all supporting us. Good night, everyone.
Bye.